Hi. Welcome to Me Complaining, the podcast. It's going to be a short episode. One of the shortest I think we've ever recorded. Not the shortest. I think there was one where I was doing like a really quick, like, hey, I'm not doing an episode this week. And it was just like a 5 minute of me being like, hey, sorry, no episode. And that was going to be probably the shortest. This will be the second shortest episode ever recorded. I wanted to put something out. But first, I just want to say that I'm going to complain a bunch at you while I explain kind of why I don't really have a full episode this week, or I don't know. I'm just gonna tell you about my life over the last, 10 days or so, and that's gonna involve me complaining at you a little bit, if that's okay. And there is a point to it, sort of. I have a question on my mind. I have a thing that I'm thinking about. That I just like a discussion topic that's rattling around in my head. It's literally hard for me to speak right now because of this topic, because of what's going on right now. So first and foremost, right now, as we speak, as I'm recording this, I am in physical pain. It's hard to talk. My mouth hurts very badly. And, It is hurt for many days in a row now, and I've been taking lots of different things to try to help with that, and doing lots of different things to try to make it not hurt so much, but it still just hurts very much, and I'm just kind of tired of it hurting. But it's not the only thing that hurts, and I've just had a lot of pain, and it's been hard for me to create with all this pain. I did an episode kind of like this a while back. I did an episode where I talked about my kidney stones, and I talked about all that stuff that I went through. It was very graphic, went into graphic detail about my kidney stone that led to a thrombosed hemorrhoid that needed to be cut off, and how I was just going through like the pain Olympics. Well, over the last 10 days, I had the pain Olympics round two. And boy, I didn't think it was going to come back so quickly. I thought I was going to have a little bit more of a break before I had Pain Olympics round two. But we went Pain Olympics round two. So here's the story. I go to Utah for a friend's wedding. Lovely, gorgeous wedding. Great to catch up with old friends. There were old college friends there that I hadn't seen in a very long time. And it was lovely to see them. Mary and our friends that we drove out with, they went back to LA, and I stayed in Utah because I had a dental procedure, and I also had a trip planned with two other high school friends where we were going to go out and go out to Jackson, Wyoming. But I stayed in town to go to this endodontist that I go to in Utah where they put me under for the procedure because, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, if you're new, geez, oh my God, if you're new and this is your first episode, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you just came in on this episode. Maybe listen to something else first, not like another podcast, just like another episode of this podcast, and like then come back to this one after you get to know me a little bit better. As you loyal weekly listeners probably know by now, I have the bad anxiety at the dentist's office, which was weird. I didn't used to have that problem, but I had to have this year. I've had to have just a bunch of dental work done. I didn't have dental insurance for many, many years, and I just sort of avoided going to the dentist. And don't do that. Don't let it all pile up and then try to just get done a bunch of different things in a course of several months. It's not fun. Go to your regular checkups. Get some deep cleanings every once in a while. Get a regular cleaning and checkup a couple times a year. Do that. Floss and brush regularly. I always flossed and brushed. I'm a big flosser and brusher. Ask anyone that knows me. I'm a big flosser and brusher. I wanted to floss and brush a lot because I knew I didn't have dental insurance, so I was trying to stay on top of it. But anyway, I go in to get this root canal done, and I have to be sedated for the root canal. I mean, most people, you know, can do a root canal with just some Novocaine, maybe a little laughing gas, something like that. Not your boy. I have to be put under. I have to be knocked out because for whatever reason, I started having these really, really crazy, overwhelming panic attacks at the dentist's office. And still not quite sure what triggered that, what set it off. It was, now we think we know what happened is I went in for a root canal earlier this year and they shot me up with, they gave me like 5 different Novocaine shots because it was going to be a pretty invasive procedure and they wanted to make sure that I was really, really, really numb. Apparently Novocaine, and I didn't know this, has epinephrine in it, which epinephrine is, it's like adrenaline. It's just it, and if it gets in your bloodstream at all, if while they're putting those shots in, if they hit a vein or and it shoots to the heart, you can have this jolt of adrenaline. And that's kind of what happened. Is I was fine. I was sitting there in the chair. They gave me all the shots, and the shots are the only painful part. That's the only part that you actually feel. Once your whole jaw's numb, you're not feeling anything. It's just sort of uncomfortable to sit there with your mouth open and someone's hands in your mouth and them working on it and the sound of the drill. And, like, God forbid if you, like, catch a reflection of your mouth in maybe, like, that overhead light. You know, they got the overhead light and you look up and, like, you see in one of the metal pieces of the light, like, a reflection of what your mouth looks like while they're working on it. God forbid you see that. And you catch a glimpse of, like, oh, my mouth is full of blood right now, and their hands are covered in the blood that is gushing out of my mouth right now. And you just, like, go like, I wish I hadn't seen that, because I felt like I was pretty fine. I just sort of felt like there was a little bumpy thing going on the right side of my mouth, and I got people's hands in my mouth. I'm like, but overall, I'm fine. That's another piece of advice. Don't look at anything that's a reflective surface that's above you when you're at the dentist getting work done like that, because it's not cool to actually see that. But anyway, they gave me all these shots. They come in. They're starting to put in this dental dam where I can't talk and it's hard for me to breathe. And then I just got hit by a freight train of adrenaline, and I had just one of the most intense panic attacks I've ever had in my life. It was so fast and so overwhelming. There wasn't a chance for me to try to, like, breathe it off or calm down. I had to stop the woman immediately. I couldn't talk, so I had to grab her hands and say, just kind of motion that I needed the thing out of my mouth. And then I just, it was like a volcano erupting. I just was hyperventilating and squeezing the chair and crying, and you know, we didn't get the procedure done. And I've talked about this. I've said this story on the podcast before. This is just sort of a backstory to why I need to be put under for these procedures, and because after that, it's been hard for me to go back to the dentist. I've been able to figure out a way to go back and get all these procedures done. I've gotten a couple root canals since then, and a couple crowns fixed and replaced, had 2 more procedures that needed to be done. I had 1 more root canal, and I had an extraction. One of the teeth didn't make it. One of the teeth, they couldn't save it. It was a tooth that I had oral surgery on this tooth years ago, and there was already a crown on top of it, but that crown had a big crack in it, and all this food had been getting into the crack. It's gross. And the tooth was just done. It was just like kind of a mangled mess in there. So they needed to take that tooth out. But those were the last 2 things I had to do. And I was sort of saving the extraction for last because it's the most kind of like difficult one, where they have to take it out, put in a bone graft, and then then the bone graft kind of has to sit and like take to the bone for several months before you can go in and put an actual implant in and have a new fake tooth there. But so I go in for this final root canal before the extraction, which I'm thinking will take place later, and this endodontist goes, he's looking at the tooth and he's looking at the pictures that my dentist sent over, and he's testing the tooth, and he goes, I don't think you need a root canal. And so good news, right? Great news. And honestly good news. I'm excited because I was having a low-key panic attack. I was You'll be happy to know, listener, that I was in the chair. It did not take me 30 or 40 minutes to get in the chair. I walked right into the office, and I walked right back there, and I sat in the chair. I was shaking quite a bit, but they noticed that. They said, "You're shaking a little bit. You doing okay?" And I said, "I'm doing better than I did last time. I'm here. I'm in the chair. Let's just get the IV in my arm, and let's knock me out, and let's get this thing done." But he says, "I don't need the root canal." So for a second, I'm thinking, ooh, maybe no work today. Maybe I got off scot-free and I don't need to do anything today. But then he goes, "Well, you know, I mean, we're here. We've got the anesthetist here. Everyone's here. Do you want me to just take that tooth out?" And I said, "Do you do that?" And because he's not an oral surgeon, he's an endodontist. And he said, "I can. I know how." And he goes, "You're here. We've got someone here that can put you under. Would you like me to just put you under and just take that tooth out?" And I said, "You know what? We're here. I'm in the chair. Let's do it." And we did. And, you know, I expected that process would be more painful than a root canal. Root canals aren't really painful once you're healing from them. And neither are getting a filling or just like regular dental work. Like, you might have like a little discomfort from like the Novocaine shot, or just a little discomfort from people just kind of like moving your jaw around and stuff. But, you know, an extraction's a little bit more invasive, a little bit more intense. And I expected it would be, you know, a few days of pain. And they said as much. They said you'll have about 3 or 4 days of like pretty rough pain. You know, since they know I'm an addict, they know I'm an alcoholic. They're not prescribing me any Lortab or Percocet, but, you know, they're like, so alternate, you know, Tylenol and ibuprofen and just kind of keep that going. And so that's what I did. And, yeah, it was fine. And here's where the Pain Olympics come in. That night, later that night, guess what happens again? I get another kidney stone. And this is where I'm really scared now, because everyone, when I got my first kidney stone, said, "Keep an eye out. If you get another one sometime in the next 6 months, it might mean that you are now just chronically producing kidney stones, that there's something going on in your body where you are now regularly producing kidney stones." Because sometimes people will have a kidney stone and it's like a one-off thing, and it happens once and it never happens again. But people are like, if it happens again sometime soon, then you need to be... So I've been, since the last time I had kidney stones, kind of on the lookout, like, man, I hope I don't get kidney stones again. I've been drinking water like a crazy guy. I've been drinking this cocktail of like cranberry juice and lemonade that someone told me to do. I just try to push fluids. And I got kidney stones again. So I'm recovering from this tooth extraction. I can barely sleep because I'm in just extreme pain from these kidney stones. And man, so I'm right back in it. My poor parents, every single time I come to visit, I go through the Pain Olympics in their basement, and it's like that I'm a little kid again, and they have to take care of me. And you know, Mary's not there, and it's just me in the basement, just writhing in pain, screaming at 4 a.m, going, you know. And so we make it through that night. Luckily, you know, this round of kidney stones wasn't as bad as the last one. It was, look. And when I say not as bad, it's like the last one was the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life for about 48 straight hours. Like, the worst pain I've ever felt in my life for 48 straight hours. This was like a step under the worst pain I've ever felt in my life for about 9 hours. So comparatively more manageable, but you still don't want to be in the second worst pain you've ever been in for 9 straight hours. But we got through it, and I got a Toradol prescription out of that, which was helping with the tooth pain as well. And now Toradol, the problem is, and this is the cycle of these, when you get in something like this, you get stuck in this like pain cycle. Last time it was the medical procedure with the panic attack, then the kidney stones that led to me bearing down too much on the toilet, that led to a hemorrhoid, that led, you know, it was like this cycle of pain. So now the Toradol that I'm taking for my tooth and for my kidney stone is giving me just the worst heartburn, like such bad heartburn that, like, I can't sleep. Like, so, and it's a choice between, do you want to not be able to sleep because your face is throbbing and because you have extreme pain from kidney stones, or do you not want to be able to sleep because you've got really, really bad heartburn? And it's one or the other. And you know, you're just stuck. And You know, so I'm doing that, and also ibuprofen and things like that have a tendency to plug you up. So I go on this trip with my friends to Jackson, Wyoming. The kidney stone, I think, is passed. I haven't had kidney stone pain in a couple days. I go on the Jackson trip. My mouth is still just killing me, but I'm sure it's going to stop any day. I'm sure it's going to stop probably 1, 2 days into the trip. They said 3 or 4 days, and I was on like day four when we were heading on the trip. So I go on the trip with just some ibuprofen and some Tylenol, and because I was all out of Toradol. They didn't give me too much, just a few pills, and I can't poop. I can't poop. I don't poop for like 4 days, you guys, for like 4 days. And so I got that going on. Now I got this grumbling rock in my stomach. I got heartburn. I got this tooth that is just it. It's like if I every time so like every about 4 or 6 hours. As whatever thing I'm on, whether it's Tylenol or ibuprofen, is starting to wear off, I just start throbbing. Like my jaw just starts throbbing, and I finally on like the Saturday that I'm on this trip, I call this dentist at his after hours phone number, which I think is just his personal phone number, this endodontist. I call this guy and I go, "Hey, I don't think it's supposed to be feeling this way still this far out." And he goes. He goes, "Have you been doing your saltwater rinses that I told you to do?" And I go, "Yeah, every single day, 3 times a day." And he goes, "Yeah, those should make it feel better." I'm like, "Oh no, they make it feel way worse every time I do it." But I do it because I was told to, and I also have this antibacterial rinse. I wasn't prescribed a antibiotic. Which I thought I would be prescribed an antibiotic because I have a big open hole in my cheek, like just a big open hole in my gums. Seems like a thing that could get infected really easily, but they just told me if I do these rinses, saltwater rinse and just this antibacterial rinse, twice a day and the saltwater rinse 3 times a day, I should be good, you know, rinse after I eat, stuff like that. And so I'm just trekking along. I'm going through the Pain Olympics round two, and I'm in the middle of that right now. And that's it. That's my big complainy long story. Okay, that's my big wah wah wah. First world problems. Meh meh. I'm in pain. Story. And I'm not telling this story to make everyone just go, "Oh, poor Austin. Poor me. Poor me." I am saying this to say that if you follow me on social media, you may have noticed. And it's been kind of weird, and I don't know if people actually notice this. Maybe people really don't notice. Maybe people really are like, "Oh, I had, you know," and I kind of would like it if people were just like, "Oh, I didn't really notice." This has been the longest period, kind of since I decided to be a full-time content creator. This has been the longest period that I haven't really posted any new content. It's been like over a week since I've posted a video on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter. Or YouTube, and that doesn't happen. Normally, I'm posting every single day to Instagram and TikTok, pretty much every day or every other day on Twitter, and a couple times a week on YouTube. And I haven't posted anything. And it's been, you know, I've been out of town, I've been with friends, I've been doing all this different stuff. But really, it's like this pain. It being in pain all day long. It's like all I can really focus on is just managing the next hour or so, you know, and just getting through the next hour in a reasonable amount of comfort. And it's weird what it does to my brain. It makes it hard to think. It makes it hard to focus. It makes it hard to sit down and get tasks done. It's like all I'm really doing is just kind of managing as I go through the day. And I know that like the amount of ibuprofen and Tylenol I'm taking aren't good for me, and they're not good for my inside, so I want to be done taking those as soon as possible. But I don't know. It's just been an interesting thing. And the question that's on my mind, I said that I had a question on my mind. I said that I have a topic that I wanted to discuss. And I don't have anyone here to discuss it with. I'm not live on TikTok right now. I got back today. I flew back in today to LA, and I'm just back in my little one-bedroom apartment, and But the question that I have, I think I said this on the podcast last time I talked about the Pain Olympics, and I said that I looked at the nurse at one point when I was in the hospital for kidney stones, and she said, "Do you have any questions?" And I said, "Yeah, why does this happen?" And then she like started to list off the reasons of like what it could be a diet thing, and I said, "No, I don't mean like why, you know, like what kind of diet things. I just mean like why existentially, like why in a universal sense is it necessary for people to feel like this sometimes?" And I kind of said it as a joke, and I kind of laughed at my bad joke. And she was like, "Oh yeah, I don't know," and just left the room, you know, because I was more or less just saying like, why would I ever have to feel like this? It seems so bizarre. And that is the question that's still on my mind now, is like, what is that? What is going on with like, why is pain a part of existence? Why is suffering a part of existence? What is the utility in pain? Is there a utility in pain? Is there a purpose to pain? If I wanted to be a optimistic philosophizer and pontificator, I would definitely try to formulate some kind of idea like, and I have thought this, I've definitely thought this over the last several days while I've been in pain, because there's been these fleeting moments, there've been these few moments where like, I'll have like a break where just for like maybe 5 minutes straight, I don't notice my tooth hurting. And I think, oh, and it's almost like the feeling of sliding into a warm bath or getting into a hot tub, and that first feeling of like, oh, like that feeling when you first take like a shot of whiskey or something, or like, you know, like in that warmth that goes and washes through your body and you go, ooh, that's nice. It's that feeling of when you've had a panic attack and you know you're through it and you've gotten through it and you can feel it subsiding, and for the first time in however long, your heart rate is coming down and you actually feel normal again. That kind of simple euphoria. There have been a few moments over the last few days where like I'll just think to myself, my tooth's not hurting right now. And just that simple thought, it's like, oh, that's nice. Ooh, that's nice. That's so nice that's not hurting right now. And it doesn't last very long. But I want, so my optimistic take on it is that in the universe, in life, there's opposition in all things. Everything needs to have its equal opposite reaction, and everything needs to have its other side of the coin in order to exist with meaning and purpose. Good deeds and selflessness and all of these good things that we want to do, they are good because of the opposition that exists to them, because of selfishness and because of bad things and bad deeds. You know, if you want to call it good and evil, I don't necessarily know if I believe in things as binary as good and evil. I think that it's a little bit more complicated than that, that everything's got this sort of double edge to it. But yeah, I don't know. Is it that? Is it as simple as that? Because sometimes I think that that's an oversimplification, and it's us trying to make sense of something that's sort of senseless. That's the not optimistic philosopher in me, the pessimistic philosopher in me, the doubter, if you will, looks at this stuff and goes, when we say stuff like that, when we say that pain exists to make us appreciate not pain, to make us appreciate moments where we don't feel pain, it's us trying to make sense of something that is senseless, that doesn't make sense. Because so often when you're in pain, it can feel like, what am I meant to be learning from this? What am I meant to be gaining from this? Because whatever it is, I don't feel like I'm getting it. I feel like what I'm doing is just becoming worn down by this. I'm getting worn out, and I'm just sort of, like I said, I'm just sort of managing. I'm just sort of waiting for that next moment where maybe I can catch a little bit of relief. And I'm willing to put my body through difficult things to get it. to get a little bit of relief. I'm willing to be constipated for 4 days straight. I'm willing to take way more ibuprofen and Tylenol than is healthy, and I'm willing to like kind of fudge on like the hours. So, you know, I'm supposed to be taking it, say, like every 6 to 8 hours, but like, you know, the 5 hour mark hits or the 4 hour mark hits and I'm in extreme pain and I'm popping more. Because I got to do something. I got to do something because this pain is not okay. And I know that the thing that I'm doing is not great for my internal health. But if it can give me a moment of relief, then I'll take it. And when I look at it through that lens, it just seems like it seems chaotic. It seems altogether pointless. I can understand why death is a thing. There's a cycle there that I see and that I recognize, birth and growth and this sort of movement through the phases of life and then dying. But I don't understand why throughout there things like why does there have to be such extreme degrees of pain and physical suffering and emotional suffering? That's kind of the question that I've got rattling around, you know? I don't know. Is that what it is? Maybe it is. Maybe it is that it's that, like, the reason why things taste good, you know? Like, food could just be neutral. It could just be something that you have to ingest to. I mean, we could live in a world where we don't need to eat food, where food's not even a thing. Like, you just, your body just exists and does not need sustenance or nutrition to grow. It is a self-sustaining thing. It has an internal regulatory mechanism for that. But there's something about the experience of curating really good food, you know, that people go in and they make their entire life about it. They make their entire life about making a meal, making a palette of tastes and textures that when you put that in your mouth, it's going to give you that experience, that getting into the hot tub, getting into the bathtub experience, that like you're gonna put that thing that they made with that sauce, with that at that temperature, with that seasoning and that accompanying dish on the side, where you get a little bite of that in there too, and you're gonna put that and you're gonna go, oh my god, oh. And for a second, for a few minutes, you're gonna have that feeling, that warm feeling. And maybe for that feeling to be so nice, we need the opposites of those things, you know. Maybe for good smells to smell good, we need farts to smell bad. And we need, you know, bad smells to smell bad. And like the smell of decomposition and rot to smell bad, so that the smell of a blooming flower or of a ripe vegetable or fruit can, you know, like, or like the smell of like simmering onions on the stovetop. In order for that to smell good, there needs to be an opposition of that. I don't know. It probably is. It probably is that simple. And I'm probably making too big of a thing of it, because that it's just what's on my mind. It's all I can think about right now is pain. You know, I wasn't even sure I was going to record this, because I just was like, I don't know. I don't think I can talk for that long because of how bad my mouth hurts. And I don't know if I'll be able to. I feel like I've been rambling more than I would in a normal episode, because I just feel like my brain is just sort of not operating at its full capacity, because so much of my energy is being taken up kind of trying to avoid or get around this constant pulsating pain. It's interesting too how our brains can help us with that stuff. It's like I if I wanted to, I could probably always find something in my body that's in pain. I could probably always focus on my lower back and go, oh, there it is. Yeah, there's something in there. One of these hips has there's a little nagging thing in my left hip there's a little thing pressing on just kind of like over there on the right, just right below my right sit bone. I can just feel it if I wanted to, but my brain is capable most of the time of helping me focus on what I need to focus on and not be sort of rooted in whatever constant thing is there. But I don't know, every once in a while you get into one of these situations where like you can't think around the pain of kidney stones. You can't think around the pain of something like that, where I have a giant throbbing open hole in my mouth that I went and saw this guy again yesterday. He swears it's healing. He says it looks like it's doing the right stuff. He says it looks good. Doesn't feel good. I'm not sure why. It's been 8 days now. More than 8 days. It's been over 8 days. And it still hurts really bad. But, it's I don't know. I guess pain too, in addition to there being an opposition in all things, I guess there's also something about it being a teacher. I definitely find lots of moments when I'm in pain, physical pain or emotional pain, where you get to kind of see what you're made of, get to kind of confront things. I feel like I spend a lot of my life, not actively, but I think I probably several times a day when I'm not in pain, I have thoughts, fear thoughts about pain. I fear things. I fear the pain of losing job opportunities or losing money and having to like start over at a job I don't like or something like that. I fear that pain. I fear the pain of losing relationships. I fear the pain of people in my life dying. I fear the pain. I fear physical pain. I've never been stung by a bee before, everyone. I told my friends this on this trip I went on to Jackson, Wyoming. They couldn't believe me. They were like, you've never been stung by... And I was like, it's a goal of mine to never get stung by a bee. I'm certain that getting stung by a bee doesn't hurt as bad as kidney stones. I'm positive it doesn't hurt as bad as that. I bet it doesn't hurt as bad as getting a tattoo. And I've gotten lots of tattoos. I doubt it hurts as bad as this 8-day throbbing pain in my jaw that I've had ever since I got this tooth pulled. But I still, like, it's a pain I've never felt before, and, like, if I can make it through my life without feeling the pain of being stung by a bee, I'm cool with that. I don't feel like it's something I need to experience in order to have a fulfilling human experience, you know what I mean? So I'm like, but I think about that. 33 years old, and I think about the fact that, like, I don't want to get stung by a bee. I don't want to do that. I don't need to know. I'm not curious about it. But what's interesting is if I get stung by a bee one day, I'm going to be like, ah, damn it. And then I'm going to kind of like feel that feeling and be like, ooh, yeah, you know what? That hurts pretty bad. But I get to see, oh, but I'm actually able to manage this. There's an interesting thing that would go on whenever I would get tattoos. I haven't gotten a tattoo in a while, but when I first started getting tattoos, I remember, especially my first one, I remember thinking, like, I have no idea what this is going to feel like. I have no frame of reference for what this is going to feel like. And that first, like, when he's first bringing the gun down to make the first line on your arm, you're like, and I remember that thought of, like, you know what? That's pretty nuts. That's a wild feeling. And it was like a really intense pain because it's just a series of needles going in and out of your skin over and over and over again at a rapid speed. And kind of it felt to me like if someone stuck a rusty nail inside of my skin and then dragged it slowly, very, very slowly downward. But this interesting thing happened in my brain where instead of freaking out and going, okay, stop, that's crazy, that hurts so much, I told myself, hey, remember, we signed up for this. Like, we signed a piece of paper for this. We told them what we wanted. Like, this is exciting. This is a cool... And the pain kind of changed from something that I was afraid of and something that it was, like, nagging at me to something that almost felt good. And that's been kind of my experience ever since getting tattoos, is that there's, like, this... there's this part of it that feels, like, kind of weirdly good, that you're like allowing this pain to happen. And I wonder if that's the key to pain. Do I need to try right now to focus on enjoying my tooth pain? Maybe that's it, you guys, is I need to think, this is good. I needed this tooth pulled. This is an essential part of the process to me getting an implant and me getting that much closer to having kind of rebuilt my mouth. It's really cool that I've been able to like rebuild all these bad teeth that I let get too bad this year, that I've been able to like get in there and get these problems fixed. It's cool that I have the funds to do it. That's cool. And it's cool that I've been able to like manage it and get through like the different hurdles and difficulties that came with that. So maybe I just need to reframe it and kind of look at it as like, this is it's a good pain. It's a pain that I have invited. It's a pain that I have allowed. I don't know. You know, is that helpful? Is it helpful to you? Are you dealing with pain right now? Is it helpful to try to like reframe, or are you just kind of sitting in it going, you know what? I would just as soon this just be over in any way, shape or form as soon as possible. Cause I get that as well. It's just an interesting thing. I talk to people all the time who live with chronic pain. So that's why I feel like a whiner right now. I feel like a complainer. I really feel like someone who's like, who doesn't experience that much pain actually, on a day-to-day basis. And like anytime I do feel pain, it just like shuts down my whole world. And I don't want to be that guy, you know, but it is interesting. It's just kind of nobody, here's the thing. Nobody is getting through life without their fair share of pain. Nobody. Some people are definitely going to feel more pain than others, but nobody's getting through this thing without some pain. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on pain? Is pain a teacher to you? Is pain just a necessary part of the universe so that there is balance in all things? Or is pain just something that's senseless to you? Pain and suffering, is it just something that you're just sort of yoked with, whether you like it or not, and you just sort of have to deal with it? Let me know. You can reach out. You actually can. If you listen to this and you want to reach out, let me know. Hit me up on the old Instagram or whatever and give me your thoughts. That's it. That's all. I'm going to go see this Van Gogh thing. You know that Van Gogh thing? You've been on Instagram and seeing everyone going to this Van Gogh thing. It's like the living Van Gogh display where they like project Van Gogh paintings all over the walls. It's going to be cool. You know, my tooth's going to hurt. I'm going to walk around and try not to think about my tooth while I'm looking at these Van Gogh paintings and while I'm hanging out with some good friends. And it's going to be good. It's going to be cool. All right. If you're out there, I hope you're doing well. If you're experiencing some pain right now, I hope it passes soon or you're able to find some moments of peace. And that's it. Okay. Chrissy Bear's mixing and mastering the show. You know him. You love him. Hit him up, themarmalademusic.com. Tell him that you want him to do your thing. He'll give you 20% off. That's the show. Back next week with a guest and a fuller, beefier version of the thing. Hopefully by then I can think clearer and get back to sort of being my old self. Alrighty. Okay, that's all. Love y'all. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.